Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show is Peter Reckel returning to Days of Our Lives. Deacon and Quinn get engaged on The Bold and the Beautiful. Should Santa be worried about Nikki running him over on The Young and the Restless? And Michael wins custody of Avery on General Hospital. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jillian Bo, welcome.
What's up?
Mike Jubonville, welcome.
Hello.
And Sarah Babel, welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Well, we are going to start this week's podcast with Days of Our Lives. And the reason why is because there's two equally great topics to discuss, though I'm not sure which one is better, so I'll let Sarah be the deciding factor on this.
Uh-oh.
Peter Reckel or Jennifer finding out that JJ and Eve are sleeping together. Which one do you want to discuss first?
Oh, I think I got to talk about Jennifer, the hell-raising, you know, helicopter mom from hell that is Jennifer. But for once, I said this on Twitter, it was the first time this decade I liked Jennifer. I mean, I think last time I was this into Jennifer, she brought her diaphragm into a cave to lose her virginity. And, you know, it was just, they absolutely went and pulled out the maximum stops of having her literally catch the two of them having sex in bed. It was pure, delightful soap. And what I kept enjoying about it, other than, you know, Jennifer basically being like, look, Eve, after, you know, however many decades, I'm going to put your ass in check because I finally got the goods on you, was her, like, inability to see why a 19-year-old boy would want to have sex with a super hot older woman. Like,
Stacy's like, mom. That's totally Stacy's mom, right?
It's true. And she is Stacy's mom. Paige's mom has got it going on.
Yes. Oh, damn. I wish Days had money to, like, play that song, but whatever.
Jillian, what did you think?
Oh my God. Like, you know, before we were talking about it, I thought Jennifer was just a neurotic mess when she was talking to Daniel about her hypotheses and her theories and quantum physics and shit and take away the two and, you know, using the Venn diagram, whatever, to figure out why JJ was lying. And when he was like, just chill, I'm like, seriously, like, what is your problem, ma'am? Like, she was so obnoxious. I'm like, you know, I said it to you guys, she is literally the reason why some kids lie to their parents, because she's such a busybody. And, like, her son is a grown-ass man. He's an adult. He's in college, so he can stoop whoever he wants to, and she can't do a damn thing about it. But
he's still living under her
so
roof.
So what? What's your point? He's an adult.
I know, but a lot of parents whose children are still living at home think that they can weigh in on their lives.
No, Jennifer, well, okay, see, if that's the case, then she should have told Abigail, stop being a hoe with EJ. But anyways, like, well, I mean,
she wasn't happy about that.
Yeah,
either.
Whatever, but she still was cutting for her, but whatever. But, you know, when she finally, I'm like, okay, girl, like, I love Jennifer when she bust up and then got an eyeful. It was just like, oh my God, I think Jack would have been like, attaboy, she likes it like this if Jack was alive. Oh, I wish they would bring Jack back. But it was fantastic. The payoff was fantastic. It's like, Days, you're having a ball game here. And then, you know, it's just so bittersweet because they're getting rid of this regime. Well, they got rid of it, and they're bringing back Dana Higley, so...
Well, let's not think about that doom.
Yeah, we won't see her shit until next year this time, so we got some time.
Mike, yeah. Now, when we were not happy with Days of Our Lives, you were loving it.
Yes.
So now that we're loving Jennifer, are you hating Jennifer?
Well, I've always had, like, a little bit of a love-hate relationship with Jennifer. I always find her to be a little bit... a little holier than thou. Just all the things that Eve says about her, I totally agree with. But
she
just brought it. I just thought it was so much fun to watch her. And I thought at one point, I had to rewind it. I thought, is she making fun? She's mocking Eve with the little southern twang You know, I mean, she hit everything. It was perfect. She just, like, when Eve taunted her, she gave it right back to her. And I thought she's putting a little bit of twang in that mock. Like, she's just into it. I loved it. And at the end of the week, she realized that, you know, she's setting herself up to be help JJ with a lie, even though she is a little bit of the tell the truth type. So that was good to see that she has a little conflict over the kind of thing that she's setting up to move forward with. But
she went in there and whooped ass.
She really did. She
went in there and attacked. That I mean, I half expected that ponytail to turn into some sort of jet-powered propeller.
She went on that. She grabbed that pillow so fast it smothered her. I didn't even catch it until Eve was like, my face! But it was just like, that was awesome.
He said, my face! He's such an ass. Oh, my God. I love it. And, that was, I'm telling you, like, for a while, I was just like, okay, Days, you know. But that storyline right there with her finding out along with the gays is really giving me, you know, I'm like, okay, I see why Mike likes it. These two right here, I don't think it's the best thing smoking like how Mike does, but those two right there was good shit. That was just good shit.
You know, there's more to come. They didn't drop all the bombs in one shot, so there's
no, they spread
out. Paul and Will, and Paul gave that boy a smackdown, and Sonny took off, and Adrian is about to find out what's going on. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
She found out on Monday's episode.
Oh, I haven't watched Monday.
And that's the one thing about Judy Evans. You gotta love her. Like,
she's another helicopter mama, too, boys. Like, they grown. Get out of their business.
But, she never trusted Will, so it's gonna be, like, perfect. She's gonna be able to say, I told you so.
She was Look, go ahead, Sarah.
I know, and it's like, and if she really, in, like, classic soap fashion, starts being like, ooh, let's get Sonny and Paul back together instead of this, you know, little punk-ass bitch Will who's not good enough for my son, then I could get behind that. Because it's like, I like the part where Paul was, like, really called out Will today for somehow trying to blame Paul for the fact that Will lied about, you know, being married. And basically seduced him to get him to come out. Like,
perfect.
Somehow that was Paul's fault for, like, I guess being so fucking irresistible. I don't know. What is the deal?
I just want Will to die.
Oh, my God. I'm like, Will. See, this is where I crack up, because Will tries to act like he's better than Sammy, but we all know. Let's just be real, the real deal Holyfield. We know if that was Samantha Jean Brady, she would have made it all look like Paul's fault. Everybody would have bought what Sammy sold. Let's just be real. Even if they had caught Sammy in the act, they would have been like, that damn Paul seduced Sammy. Like, this is where we're like,
that
Will,
kid-
you...
That kid grew up with that in his, so he has no other thing to latch on to besides that. So him trying to throw that out and see what sticks, perfect. But I think Paul should get fed up with him. It's like, oh, you want a battle for Sonny? Let's roll. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. What kind of contest is that? Scrawny little writer versus, like, the greatest baseball player on earth. And I'm still hoping that, like, he goes to get a second opinion from a non-Mike doctor who's like, I can just pop this shoulder right into place. Just hold on a sec. But
Jordan,
you know,
fixed up that arm for him.
Well, and Mike, there was also this last week something that you had touched on earlier, and I hadn't thought about it till you mentioned it, but after you did, I've been watching Paul and John. And Paul's mother around John. Mm-hmm. I think
she's not too subtle, is she?
No. She runs out of the room runs out of the room in a panic. Yeah, she's not the slickest person on earth.
And then, like, comes back and is watching in full view.
Yeah.
Well,
so
let's talk
about sticking around for a while.
Let's hope so. At least it will give John or Drake Hogeston something to do, huh?
Yeah, it'll give John and Marlena an actual storyline rather than, you know, just listening to people. And
her stepson has slept with her grandson. Okay.
That is yeah. You can't even be like, Luke, that's just like, yeah.
Well, let's talk about something else that I mentioned earlier. Peter Reckle. tweeted that he is talking again, trying to work out a deal for the 50th. I need your love, support, and positive energy. Jillian?
Look, Peter, don't be...
Would you love to see Peter back as Bo?
Okay, well, Clipper. Look, Peter, we all want to see that happen, but it's like last time he was on a tweeting spree, he got us all hyped up and then was like, psych! So... Don't get my emotions. Don't get in my emotions by playing with us. I hope this happens. We really do need them back. I mean, it's the 50th. They need some heavy hitters back. And Greg Ming says that he, you know, went in an article. I can't remember where I read it, but he did an interview last year, I believe. Either earlier this year or last year, late last year. He discussed the 50th, and he said that he watched when GH did their 50th and really liked it and enjoyed what they did. So I'm hoping that they do the same thing in terms of bringing back veterans to celebrate the 50th. So here's hoping.
As long as they can get rid of Hope's current love interest.
Oh, Lord.
Oh.
Well, I think the bigger issue is that they need to bring him back to wrap things up. I mean, we've talked about this before, that they have to either get rid of him, recast him, but they're going to have to fill some gap that's missing between Bo and Hope.
I would rather Hope be single than to have to endure more of this boring-ass Aiden. It's just, it's not compelling, it's not interesting, and this is someone who loved him on Guiding Light with Lizzie.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely a writing issue, not an acting issue.
Absolutely.
With him. I mean,
it's not acting. The storyline is abysmal.
The problem with the storyline, too, is the character we're invested in this story is Hope, but she's not, the story's not about her at all. It's all about Aiden, and like, did he do this? Did he not do this? Does he have some little bad seed son who goes around killing his mom? You know, and she's just sort of reacting to it, and it's not about her at all. It doesn't tell us anything about her character. She's just along for the ride. And I mean, if it were the other way around, where the storyline were all about Hope, and then, you know, we invested in him through Hope, it would work so much better.
Well, Hope for the Future is a line on The Bold and the Beautiful. Jillian.
Wow.
Kim Matula is coming back.
Oh, Lord, we can pray for you in your transitions. Yeah, she's going to be back. I've heard that it's just going to be like a day thing. So, you know, all you Lopen, what is Lopen? Hot fans, I guess that's what they call them. Don't get too excited. It's going to be like a day thing. It's really cool because we really do need for her to finally, I guess, tell Wyatt, look, go, Wyatt, damn, I ain't coming back to you. So we pretty do.
You mean just like Steffi did? I mean, you have a miscarriage and then you just run away and never come back? I mean, she has a job. Rick
I don't
is right.
know.
She has a job. She has a line. Nothing's okay. going on with it. It's like,
aren't you getting hostile with me? Like, I'm writing the show. Shit, I'm just telling you what I know. Well, we know, first of all, that they're going to recast the role. But I guess that before they do that, I guess they really, I don't know. I'm just assuming here. I'm just making speculation here. Maybe they need for her to, you know, tie up this thread way here for Wyatt to move on. And then when they finally do cast the role, when she comes back for her husband, you know how soaps are, when she comes back for her husband or for Wyatt to pick up where they left off, you know, there's drama or whatever. So I'm just giving you my thoughts here.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Do you want Hope back? I know how much you love the character.
Yeah, and again, I would like to say, character issue, not an actor issue. I think Kim Matula does a wonderful job with a really difficult to play role. But I mean, the show has been just leaps and bounds better since Hope left. So I'm all for her coming back to wrap things up because it was not a satisfying ending, you know. So, you know, she has her big goodbyes with both, frankly, Wyatt and frankly, Liam, because, you know, it still always kind of comes across like any other woman in his life is in his second position to Hope. And if Hope came back and crooked her finger, anyone, Ivy, Steffi, you know, whatever, the woman behind the bar, bikini bar, would get kicked to the curb in favor of, you know, Saint Hope of perfection. So,
though we now know that at least on that scale, it'd be Hope, Cousin Koala, and then Steffi. Steffi got demoted.
She did.
Yeah, she did.
For Liam. Mike, what are you thinking of Rick and Maya?
Like, that was so dramatic. Like,
because, like, I have been a fan of Jacob Young since All My Children days. I was not a fan of him as Lucky on General Hospital. He did a lot of screaming during that period of time. But I've been a consistent fan of his over the years because he ends up delivering great performances. And a lot of times it's because the characters he's playing are assholes. Mm-hmm. But this week, watching it, and even the week before, it's just, he's an asshole and then some. Maybe he's two assholes. I don't know.
No, I think that...
But it's like, I'm just not like watching it.
No, see, the thing is, you want to root for this guy. You want him to come in here and you want him to be the guy that keeps throwing Ridge down on the mat constantly, maybe tormenting Caroline, everything. But the way that he's written... You're right. He comes off as an asshole. And then that whole thing that, like, I don't know why those girls are foresters and they have money. Why they're still living in that house is beyond me.
Well, you know how it is.
And Allie can get somebody to market her shoes to anybody. She has a forester name. She can go out there to anybody that will try. She has other options. She's got far more options than anybody would have who is sitting in their apartment with no connections and a family name. So to me, it's just stupid that she would sit there and have to rub Maya's feet to get her put the damn shoes on. It's just stupid.
Okay, well, I'm a cut for them with this. With all soaps, we always wonder why these grown-ass adults who have money, more money than we can spend, are still living at home. It's just to create more drama. So I'll leave it like that. And we all know how soaps are. I mean, well, we know B&B has a boss budget for them to be go flying here, there, and everywhere. I guess they don't want to make a new set for Allie to have an apartment, but whatever. As for the shoe thing, I think they're trying, I guess... I'm looking at it like this. The reason why Allie is going to Rick is she's going to him out of loyalty. He's family. She's going to go to him and be like, look, I have an idea that can make us some money and get us going in a different direction. How about it? So I guess she's just, you know, trying
to... Okay, so she tried to be loyal the first five times she approached him. And every time that she approaches him, he degrades her. So why would she keep going back?
I am going to actually defend why Allie's doing it from a character standpoint as opposed to why Rick's doing it, which is she's the girl we've been established. She's a bully. She was bullied. She was a victim. She sort of has that mentality of like, this is the way people treat me. And
okay,
she,
I get that.
And
she's
a little
that.
Crazy.
So where's the little Darla bubble telling her that she doesn't have to do that?
They're trying to put her on contract. That's where she is. Shit.
But that said, I have no idea why Rick's doing it. And I like that, like, Maya's like, the hell? You know, and I like that now Cousin Koala's like, Allie, why are you doing this crap? Because it is up to Allie at this point to be like, nope, I'm going to go find whoever is the remnants of Sally Spectre's thing and take my shoe line there. And y'all will, you know, see it in all the stores.
The problem is that when it comes down to it, this isn't going to end up affecting Rick. It's all going to be ending up being blamed on Maya because people are going to say, oh, Maya's the reason why he's doing all these terrible things.
I want Rick to be the winner in this, but I have no reason to root for him because first it was funny, but now it's just like really obnoxious and you can't run a company. You cannot run a company that way. It doesn't
and
work.
You can't pick on the weakest person. Like, if he was doing this to Ridge, I could be okay with it.
Yeah, like, see, this is where I'm like, okay, Rick, you're being a dick bleed right now. Like, it's real talk. Like, Maya should pull him to the side and be like, look, boy, you're being stupid right now. If it was Ridge, and if it was Steffi, if it was Thomas, and if it was Caroline, I'd be like, ain't got no problem with Rick doing that. They ain't have not a problem with him doing that at all, because we keep, you know, I don't know why they won't bring it up, but, you know, Thomas blew up that boy's car. Steffi is a little shit herself, and we know Ridge is the biggest shit of them all. Caroline, she did her, she knew damn well, even though it was a kiss, she knows that, she knows how much that Rick hates Ridge. Fine, but what's her face is always loyal when it comes to family, Allie. So for him to pick on Allie is really foul. The only thing I can chalk him up for doing that is for her being like, you know, being Team Caroline. I can only see the reason why Rick is doing that is because she is Team Caroline and not Team Maya. But, you know, and but, you know, I feel as though that Maya, not Maya, that at this point, like Sarah says, Allie, I don't, maybe down the line, maybe they're going to use this as a way for Rick to lose it all, but Allie has
to... It's too obvious, Seth. Make it...
See, but that's the thing that, like, I feel like they are specifically setting Rick up for a fall and making it so that no one will root for him. If they had done this like Mike had suggested, and you want to be able to root for Rick, and then he fell, then it would be we're cheering for him to try and claw his way back. But at this point, they're making Rick so unappealing that there's nothing to cheer for it when he does fall and he does try to come back.
Maybe Maya will be the saving grace. Maybe Maya, because we see that Maya is just looking at him like we see the little breadcrumbs. Now I'm gonna give B&B credit for this. We're seeing the breadcrumbs that B&B is setting up. We saw that she did not like for him to put that portrait of her up. Even she was like, look, I didn't ask for him to do that. He did that himself, and I told him not to do that. We see the breadcrumbs there. We see with Rick making Allie massage her feet. She's just like, the fuck? What you doing? I don't want that crazy girl touching my feet. I wake up and she killed me and she chopped my feet off or something. Like, we see the breadcrumbs here and there that she is setting up for her to maybe be the one to finally, since she's the only one that Rick listens to, maybe she'll be the one to be like, okay, Rick, enough. You are, I get that you're mad, but you're acting like an asshole here and you're losing out and you're causing people to turn on you and we're going to lose money.
I think she should be like, you know, come on, baby, let's go to the kitchen. I'll tell you something. Don't fuck this up for me. I worked really hard to get here, and if you screw this up, I'm going down, and I'm not going to let that happen. It's got to be more about her, not about him.
I think, you know, with that, that would be good, but then that would play into Maya as a gold digger, whereas we know that Maya really does care for Rick.
I agree with you, but I think it's got to be clear to Rick what she wants. I mean, Rick is not
stupid. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say, though. Like, I feel as though that Maya is looking at the whole landscape, and she's not stupid. She's going to pull him to the side and be like, you are screwing up the companies, you're screwing with the company, you're screwing with the legacy, and you're also messing up, you're messing up with me. You have people blaming me, and you need to stop this shit.
He's messing with her family, too, because it's like, it's one thing to let, I think she was being cold to Nicole at first, but, like, bringing her in to, like, and giving her, like, Allie's room as opposed to, you know, one of the 200 guest rooms that are in that mansion, like, that's now putting her sister, who has nothing to do with this, in the midst of it.
Yeah, he's putting a big bullseye on Maya's back, and it's like, you know, if you want people to be loyal to you and your woman in there, stop pointing a target on your back. So I think... I don't know anything. I just feel as though that shoe line is going to be like the tipping point. Like,
I agree with you because I think they've been building up. She wants to be friends with these girls and it's not working out very well.
I feel as though the shoe line is going to be the tipping point. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Bill will resurrect like Spectra or something like that, and Allie will, you know, the shoe line will be the toast of the town, and everybody will be like, see, we told you, and Rick be like, fuck, I shouldn't have been letting that bitch massage your feet, I should have been making her sit in Thorne's office and churn out them damn shoes or something. I just feel as though something about that whole shoe line shit is gonna come back and bite Rick on the ass.
Maybe Rick will take his own company and use Allie's shoe line, like the spinoff of his stuff, and they'll be like the toast of the town, and it will be like a problem. Like, he'll come up with things that are like the same patterns as the textiles he designs or whatever.
Yeah.
I did like that Rick did say that Thorne never got anywhere being the nice guy. He never got out of the basement. So I sort of understand why he's doing it. It just, like Luke
Maybe.
Said, there's nothing to root for when you, I just.
Well, and I also feel like what's happening with Rick now, there was a reason why he wasn't put in charge for so many years when he should have been a viable contender. And now that he's finally in that spot, instead of like beating expectations or satisfying people's concerns, he's just sinking to the lowest common denominator and confirming everything that everybody else thought about him before. And that's not the type of Rick that we want to see, at least for me.
Right.
Well, let's talk about something else that happened. Quinn and Deacon are engaged. Jillian, I know you're a big Deacon fan from his time both on B&B and YNR. Thoughts?
This is crazy meets crazy, boy. Like, I think this is very, very interesting. What I find fascinating and funny is that Wyatt is just, like, scared for Deacon in a way. He's not worried about his mother. You know, a boy will be like, Mom, this interloper is after you and your company. He's just like, oh my god, like who's gonna say a prayer for Deacon because my mama crazy. I find that funny as hell. And all of a sudden Brooke is all territorial. It's like, I find that part a little question mark. I know that Brooke is
oh
down.
That's a big question mark.
Yes, because you know, I know that Brooke is down in the dumps. I know that Brooke is down in the dumps because Dollar Bill is with Katie and Ridge is too busy painting and shit in some studio efficiency somewhere. Why he has a studio apartment, I don't know. You're a Maroney and a fake Forrester. You should have at least a compound somewhere. I chalk it up to budgets, but whatever. Like, I'm like, why do you care about Deacon? You know, like, Deacon DeFito was such an asshole with Bridget. He's a deadbeat with Hope. I know that he's changed his ways, but why do you care? Like, this is a credit to Jamie. Jamie was like, you know, I think he said it on the podcast too.
Yeah,
Brooke should not be open, you know, kicking back margaritas and shit and tequila shooters with Deacon when Deacon caused Brooke to lose the damn company by giving that percentage to that straight kid that ain't Nana Forrester. She should always look at Deacon, and when he's like, hey, Brooke, she should be like, die, trash. Like, you know, out in the, like how Branch Devereaux said it to Rose that time. Like, she should not be cool with Deacon. If it wasn't for Deacon, she, you know, right now she should be running Forrester. She should be like, when Rick tries to have a temper tantrum, she should be like, alright, who run this bitch? Me. You sit your ass down. Like, she should not be cool with Deacon. That's what I find really, really odd. And I love drunk Brooke because she's a mess, but I don't buy that Brooke would be drunk and such a mess over a man. I don't believe it. I just
well,
don't
I
like
think
that
it would
aspect.
Work better as if she was, there was a balance of her. Soaps have a really bad habit of only having characters do one thing. So I think it would be if Brooke was running the company with Rick, then going home to an empty house and then having a drink and then, you know, starting that way and then going to work the next day and running the company and then everybody leaves and then she stays to work and then she has another drink. It just kind of builds over time. But this thing is not working for me. But if she was doing the work while having this other side of her life falling apart, I would probably like that a lot better.
Yeah, and I wanted to just give a shout out to the actual proposal scenes between Quinn and Deacon, which I just thought were just wonderful and delightful to watch. I think Sean Kanan and Rena Sofer both just played the hell out of it, and Patrick Mulcahy did the dialogue for that episode, and he did just such a wonderful job, and I thought there was just such emotional depth to these like really flawed, screwed up characters coming together and having these, you know, this very this unusual proposal where he's like, yeah, I know you're a crazy bitch, I'm down with that, and like where she's like being like, look, I don't want you to have a job, I like you being my kept man, and I like you know you can get to take my aggressions out on you on a regular basis. And then her fear, her belief that like no man could ever really truly love her was actually quite poignant. Like, I mean, I just wanted, right. You know, it had more depth than like you often get sort of with a lot of the characters on Bold, because, like, you know, like, the character of Hope, she doesn't necessarily have these complicated emotions, and it's not, like, a writing or acting thing. It's just who the character is, as opposed to who Quinn and Deacon are. So I just wanted to say I really enjoyed that, and I have as many issues with the rest of you as Alcoholic Brooks, and mainly in that she went from 0 to 100 on, like, the drinking scale. Like, as opposed to, like, I'm sure every single person listening to this podcast knows someone who, you know, has had some, like, issues with substance abuse. And it's not like one day you're fine and the next day you're lying in a gutter. It's, like, gradual and over time, and, you know.
And you can hide it. You don't always really are obvious. There's a lot of times where people are functional alcoholics, and Brooke's house would be dark. She wouldn't have all that light in there. And it's just, there's a lot of little things that are missing.
You sound like you know so much, Mark.
Well, it's not... It's not from personal experience. It's just from reading, and you know, it's kind of like the realm of my real life work. So I kind of, you know, to me, it's like, it's, if you're going to do it right.
Let's talk about another one of Mike's favorite drunks. Mike, what did you think of Nikki this last week running down people?
You gonna clear that up? Mike, you gonna do it or I'm gonna do it? You gonna clear that up? Who gonna clear it up? Me or you, Mike, with that Nikki quote?
Go ahead, Mike. What did he say?
He said Nikki running down people. Neil caused that. Neil grabbed that wheel.
Oh, that's right. Neil.
I know Neil did, but she was still at the wheel.
No, sir. No, sir. No, ma'am. You go to hell. Neil caused that. If Nikki just gunned it down, fine. But Neil grabbed the wheel. Neil, I mean, what you want Nikki to do? Fight Neil back? Get out of here. Don't you do that to my Nikki. Get
out. I thought it was probably Tuesday and Wednesday were the two best days of Young and the Restless last week. I was trying to remember what was going on. But yes, I'm okay with it, except that Cricket clearly needs to stay off of anything concrete, because every time she steps out somewhere, somebody runs her over.
She needs like a Uber or something. She really needs to be like the girl in the bubble. Forget the boy in the bubble. She needs to be the girl in the bubble. I'm like, you and like cars are not a good mix, madam. But I like the fact that you know, they're setting this up to be really good now. Like I'm hoping.
You want for a very long time.
Yeah, and I'm hoping
Cricket and Nikki. I think that was something that was missing for a while. They had toyed with it, and I thought it was a really good idea to put those two at odds with each other. And I think this is huge. And now she's lying and taking the blame for something that she didn't do.
And I think, you know, in the end, this is going to be a good little, like, to me, I feel as though this, I will give Ryan our credit with this, this will be set up as a good little rivalry, because, like, the previous regime set that thread way there, even though it was kind of like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Why is this bitch mad at Nikki? You act like Nikki and Paul had this child on you. Like, Cricket can't stand Nikki. Don't have no love for Nikki, and then this happens. So we all know that Nikki is covering and everything and whatnot, but what's going to happen when you finally, like, is Cricket going to find out that Nikki actually didn't do this, and is she going to keep quiet because of her hatred for Nikki, or what's going to happen? Like, there's so many...
I hope she goes for the jugular.
I hope she goes crazy. I hope this is the character that he wants to make the crazy one.
Like, there's so many things you can do here, but, you know, I just hope they don't bitch it up, because I'm like, we know who this is, who's the head writer over there, so, I mean, I'm saying.
Sarah, do you want to see Cricket go crazy?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Cricket, she's sort of like one of these Jennifer Horton-type, little miss up-type things, and it's not to the degree of Jennifer, just because she's been written more... you know, sympathetically, and it's like, if you're the district attorney, you do have a right to get, like, real angry about crime. That's your job. But, like, you know, she has been Little Miss, you know, Saintly Goodly Two-Shoes since the 80s. So, you know, I mean, I like that it's built up subtly. I mean, you know, it's kind of crazy that, like, Paul was the one who's like, it's murder. You weren't drinking. I have no evidence to back this up, but this is attempted murder and I'm arresting you. But, like, I totally
Paul has abusive power issues.
I know. Yeah. Paul, Eric Holder's going to come in and dismantle the Genoa City Police Department.
Yeah!
That's the way this is going. But, like, you know, I mean, I definitely think it's one of the stronger stories in the show right now. I am so mad, though, again. I'm going to throw out punk out bitch ass bitch again for Neil for, like, letting this person get arrested for him. And then going to see Cricket and be like, oh, are you okay? I'm like, you are just the worst. Like, own your stuff.
Now, this is the time that Victor, you know, I'm always like side eye, like 90-year-old Victor. It's a joke, people. Don't come at me with no ageism thing, because I'll send you back with shipping and handling. But this, you know, I'm always side eye when Victor is always like, ugh, trying to beat someone down. This is actually the time that I feel as though that when Victor finds out that Neil left Nikki holding the bag, Victor really does need to whoop the shit out of Neil. He really do need to sock Neil right in his face. Because that is some bullshit right there, Neil. Like, if that doesn't wake you up into being like, oh shit, I got somebody who was trying to help me in a jam, and I was drunk, and I did this, and I need to get my shit together. Come on, like, I thought that was real foul. And,
it was
like,
an accident. I mean, so I don't think that should be some big, huge cover-up that goes on for 6 months or a year.
Look who's okay.
We're talking about a different
show. You really
show.
Didn't watch General or All My Children, did you, Mike?
I'm like, we know who this is. This is Chuck Prep. Chuck probably writing this until, like, summer kids go to college. I'm like, get out of here. But, I mean, it was an accident. We know it was an accident. But we're just talking about for Neil not, like, at least standing up and doing something. Like, I thought this would have made Neil, like, At least I would have thought this would have made Neil stop drinking and at least be a little bit scared. I could see him being scared to go before, but at least stop the drinking.
Maybe it will make him get more, maybe it will make him spiral worse because he's letting Nikki take the fall. And as she ends up on the electric chair, he's finally going to admit it.
Well, the thing is, he did such a good read of, Devon, I loved every minute of him tearing that kid down brick by brick.
Oh, it was good.
Yes,
it was so good. And he told him that he wanted him to own up to what he did. He never owned up to it. Now he's turned around and he's not doing the same thing.
Yes, that's why.
That was like one of my favorite moments last week was watching Neil sit there, drink, and just rip it.
Told him to get a bottle, and
yeah, it was great.
I wonder if after Neil saying all that and, you know, causing Cricket to whatever, I wonder if Devon or Hillary will somehow be the ones to bust Neil and be like, you want to sit here and be so pious, but they won't ever say it in daytime, but I would love for them to just go there, though. I would just love for, like, for Devon or Hillary to be like, you sitting there being so pious, but your back ass let Nikki run over that. You grabbed that wheel from Nikki, and you got her doing time or something. But I know they won't say that, but I would love for Devon or Hillary to find out that Neil did it and for them to just put him on full tilt blast.
You know that, like, all these cities have surveillance on street corners now. It's entirely possible that it would be videotaped
but they wouldn't necessarily be in the car. They could see the accident, but I mean, it would have to be like a dashboard cam.
Don't you want CSI where they can zoom in very closely and see everybody's face?
They wouldn't have been able to see her pimple in the wheel, darling. No, baby, no. I get what you're saying, but again, no. And this is Chuck Pratt, honey. This gonna be a. It's
well,
gonna,
this,
no,
it's gonna watching be, these last couple weeks has just proven to me that none of the over-the-top crashes and smashes and bang-ups had to happen.
No!
I mean, I know that it was all to rearrange everything, but it wasn't necessary at all.
Sarah?
No, I agree, because I actually sat down and I was like, made a list, and I was like, what are the things that were the actual consequence of the disaster week? Not things that happened during disaster week that could have happened any other time, like Hillary, you know, like Neil, you know, busting on Hillary and Devon. Like, the fallout was really just Austin's death, because, like, the whole thing of, like, you know, the underground, you know, ceiling crashing in was a day player who I don't even think we'd ever seen before died. You know, RIP, Derek the bartender. That was about it. There was, like, the plane crash. No one was, like, messed up medically. Like,
the
there
pilot all... died.
Yeah, so, you know, it was a bad week for day players on Young and the Restless. Yeah. But, I mean, there wasn't the consequences to it. And it wasn't like one of those things where they were like, okay, because we decided we survived this accident together, I'm going to let bygones be bygones, which thank God, because that would have been really boring. But, you know, like the only thing that actually for real happened that propelled the story during Disaster Week was that God awful, I know what you did, you know, last Valentine's Day horror story.
How to get
story.
Away with murder.
Which kind of sucks because what... The whole thing with Abby and Austin would have been so much better if it was told and we were
on screen. Why wasn't this shown on screen? This is like
because Chuck Pratt is a hack.
Okay, well, anyways, yeah, I don't want to beat that down. We'll just let people see. I'm just like, you know, someone was like, "You're being mean to poor Chuck Pratt." I'm like, when he killed one of your favorites off, I want you to come back here and tell me that again.
I'm not really convinced that Austin is dead.
Shut up, Mike. He's dead! Stop it! He dead!
Nobody went to identify him, did they?
Who cares? Mike, nobody saw Abby and Austin have an affair, but it happened! Like, get
now,
over
now
it.
He's also been kind of like,
so you're like, it happened
movie
over.
About the Abby.
Yes!
I mean, he's doing all this stuff off camera, and it like would have been a really good storyline if we'd seen him slowly start to manipulate this, and we find out, oh wait, the real reason he married Summer is he's got this plan. He's gonna turn to Abbott to the next Kardashians, and he's filming all this undercover footage and doing all this.
Yes, cool this would have been so good. We never saw it. Like, what else happened? We saw that Stitch knew some. Stitch knows some shit that's going. What Stitch? Stitch found out something. I can't remember. What did Stitch find out? It happened today, didn't it?
Yes, yeah,
I haven't watched
today's
yet.
So according, apparently now Austin was like talking to Stitch, and he knew about this documentary thing or something.
And Stitch did not tell, you know, Victoria, the woman that he's stripping, or his boss, the other woman that he was kissing up on, what's going on. It's like, what is going, like, they left a lot of shit, like, behind the scenes. It's like, Chuck wanted to do his Chucktastrophe and didn't think this whole damn thing through, because this...
Make no, they're missing a lot of...
Yes!
Like Ashley and Abby, like, Abby confiding in Ashley that she was having an affair. It's just all these things that maybe, you know... The parents didn't even know that Austin died until it was his time for his funeral. It's just like they're just so isolated trying to protect this secret doesn't make sense.
It's so much good. Like the Austin and Abby thing could have been really good shit if they had played it out. It's just like Chuck came in there and was just like, I don't like this, and just decided to just do a bunch of shit. And then, you know, YNR has that problem where they have like 4, 5, 6 people cooking one broth, one little bowl of chicken soup, and then you have all these different ideas, and then Chuck is like, fine! And then you have this. Like, I really think if this was played out, we could have seen this play out and then it lead up to... This could have been a really good whodunit to me, quite frankly, if they had... If everybody found out that Austin was doing all this, you know, Victor be like, how dare you? Jack, you know, how Peter Bergman is very, I can't believe that you did that. You know, Peter Bergman like to, you know, enunciate every damn word. That, Abby getting Buck, Summer getting mad, Phyllis getting, this could have been a really good whodunit storyline, but it's stupid. It's just like really stupid.
Right, and you would have put Phyllis and Ashley against each other.
It would have had
great.
Yes, it would have had everyone because, you know, we could have even had Avery in this. Avery, you know, Avery could have gone off on him. It could, you know, we could have thought it was him because of the shit that, you know, happened between him and Avery. Could have, you know, this could have been really a really good storyline, but they just blew it with this whole Kitty, Pretty Little Liars. I know what you did last summer with the how to get away with murder kids. Like, it's just dumb. It's dumb, dumb, dumb.
And just the horror movie music and everything. Like, it's like they're trying to do, like, this sort of genre-type storyline instead of, like, the organic, like, interesting soap storyline that it could have been.
I mean, even...
well, not only that, but have you guys noticed how terrible the dialogue has been?
Oh, God.
The dialogue has been heavier.
Say it again, Mike. What is it?
Terrible.
There you go.
It has been so bad. Like, yes, it was fantastic to have Lily go in and threaten Hillary, but the dialogue was terrible. Every time, like every single scene, I'm just cringing. I don't know what happened when Chuck took over, but the dialogue has just become abysmal.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the dialogue or if it's the way they're being directed, because I noticed like Lily used to be able to hold, Crystal Carlile could hold her own when she was in bitch mode. But now I just feel like she's chewing, and then
I feel like everybody got
Summer.
A
oh my God, Summer's whining and crying. I'm about ready to pitch my TV off the balcony.
Yeah, like I got you know,
and I don't know that that's it. That's not. I mean, I know she's capable, but that whatever they got her doing,
she's all right. I wouldn't say like oh,
she's
shit.
A good. She plays bitch really well. She's just like her mom. All right, kids.
Gina and Michelle Stafford, don't you do that.
Summer told me to tell you. No.
and I told Summer, don't do that. The dialogue and, I know they want a teen
story. There's no finesse either.
No, I know they want a teen storyline. Even if they didn't encompass the veteran characters, which I think they should have done for this killer storyline, even if they wanted a teen storyline, they could have done something like, you know, the teens, the quote-unquote teens, because I'm like, Abby about 30 now. And I'm like, Kevin ain't no damn teen either. But, you know, if they wanted to have the quote-unquote younger sect in this, they could have all found out what Austin was doing and, you know, it be in between them. Like, somehow Austin blackmailed Abby, and Abby was just like, you know, that could have been a better storyline, a better whodunit storyline than this shit. We find out off-screen that Abby, self-righteous Abby, Abby who is so bitter about Tyler and Mariah, Abby who couldn't stand, what is her name? What is Katie McClain's character's name?
Kelly.
Abby, who was so indignant upon Kelly messing with Billy and busting up Victoria and Billy's marriage. Going around screwing Austin? That's the part I'm just like, what am I missing here? What am I missing here? This is, it's just bad storytelling.
And they seem to have de-aged her 10 years for this story, which is just weird.
Like, I don't get it.
Sarah, as a former writer yourself, what are you thinking of the dialogue?
I think that they changed some dialogue writers and people are still finding the voices of the characters just from doing some reading of the credits and seeing some new names. That's my, way of saying. And I think that, you know, a lot of it, it's like, how are the scripts being edited? Because it's like, if this is like, you know, Pratt's, you know, or whoever's vision for the show, that they're like, you know, this will be more accessible to people who are tuning in. You know, all the sort of strange theories that go into this stuff like this. But it is odd. It is very strange because this is the number one show and people were quite, you know, the dialogue has consistently, I think, pretty much through all the various regimes of YNR been very solid. So
the stories can suck, but the dialogue is still usually pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they're very clear, you know, they have a lot of core, well-defined characters, and it's like, it's, you know, it's always been, it hasn't been like, you know, some of the crazier type GH dialogue wouldn't fit, you know, pop culture references and stuff wouldn't fit on YNR. It's always been kind of traditional and classical, but it doesn't, it can be still be very, you know, sophisticated and, you know, character driven, and that has been kind of odd. Let's just say that.
Well, Sarah, this last week on General Hospital,
no segue. Like, speaking of pop culture references,
I don't have a way to leave him. I have not been, and I'm on the record for not being a big fan of Chad Duell, but these court scenes the last 3 weeks or whatever have made me take and reassess him. If they can keep him in this mode, it might actually be something where I can bear him. This last week, Sarah, when he went and told Sonny that he was going to call Avery AJ, I about screamed and like threw something at my TV in excitement.
I did the same, and then a few hours later I heard my roommate do literally the exact same thing. It was pretty hilarious. The thing that was great is I was like, it was so obvious and yet I didn't see it coming. And I was thrilled, and I liked that, like, even though he is, you know, yeah, Sonny is sort of right in that he is doing this for some vengeance reasons, every single thing he said about Sonny was true, and his kids was true, and, you know, and the idea that somehow, let's just say being raised primarily by a highly qualified nanny in the Quartermain household, because, you know, that realistically maybe what happens, is definitely a safer, physically safer environment than being raised by a mobster with a track record for getting all of his kids injured and kidnapped. I mean, that's just a fact.
What was also great about it is everything that Sonny and Carly did to AJ is coming back to roost. And when he went and wanted to have Carly locked up too, that was another one of those moments I was like, I love Laura Wright, but I wouldn't mind seeing Carly go to jail.
Well, she need to go to jail for being with Franco, being a dumbass, so I wasn't mad about that, because you know I'm usually like, don't put your mama in jail now, unless your mama tried to burn you like Penny's mama a good time, you jail her. But I was like, put her ass in jail, Michael. But I do declare, I did say when Michael turned Darek on this here podcast, I did say if they stick with this, Chad Duel is doing the damn thing. And we had someone who will be nameless on here, Fluke. I told y'all, and I said it, and now look at it. I told you, that boy is bananas. He is just going gangbusters in this,
well,
this change.
His facial expressions are amazing. He's got the face, he's got the look, he's got the attitude. And I have to say, not being a long, you know, on and off General Hospital over the years, the fact that they brought every little pinpoint out, like Sarah said, about everything that Sonny did to his kids was very helpful for somebody like me. I thought
Sarah,
it was great.
They brought up Sonny shooting Carly in the
that
head.
That delighted me.
It was awesome.
And I loved the part where he went, he was like, oh, so what are you going to do? Hang me by a meat hook, Dad? I mean, I was like, thank you. I was applauding. Sonny acted all like, I cannot believe you broke the law by using your Quartermain influence to get a judge who's going to be favorable to you. Now, excuse me while I go plot to have Morgan fly my child someplace out of extradition because I don't believe in the rule of the law. Like the hypocrisy of Sonny.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. That sounds like something you would do. It was perfect.
Oh, my God.
Because it is what you would do. Get a judge to take care of it.
Side note, Monica's poontang. I'm like, Monica got some lethal poontang, boy. I'm like, damn, you have judges too. I don't want to mess with Monica.
Lethal poontang?
Yeah, did I stutter? Lethal
poontang. That might be the title of the podcast.
There you go. I was like, damn, Monica!
I might have liked to have seen that conversation, though.
Oh,
it would have been so
good. Oh, man, Monica got some ill nana, boy. I'm like, that's the type of thing you stick. Fellas, that's the type of woman you stick away from. That's the type of woman you don't mess with. I'm like, damn, Monica just breaking rules. I love it. Oh, my God. Like, that made up for some of the bullshit-ass shenanigans.
With Fluke?
That was just... I'm glad
when
that was
bit, the when you bit that man's ear, I'm like, what is this, Tyson versus Holyfield, the white version?
And then they have him in that mask, and his hair looked like a chia pet, and his mask looked like there were seeds about to sprout out of it. Just
take him, Jesus, take him.
And then they sent him to the thing where we now have Luke Franco and Nina, and it's like,
oh my God,
it's just so much.
Well, don't cut on, don't you bust on my Nina. You know, I like Nina, so don't bust on her.
I like Nina, but I don't like her with Franco. And
no, I mean, she is good with Franco.
she helped save Franco, yeah. But if I had my druthers, I would rather Franco be in a storyline opposite of high-powered characters and moving around and shaking things. I would prefer not to see her in, like, sweatpants and acting.
Boy, hush. Boy, hush. Nina and Franco are bomb. I don't want them in Luke, Fluke, Puke, Spooks, Orbit. I don't... Oh my god, like, wrap it up, ladies. Like, I don't, I'm just not in the mood for that. When he bit that man's ear, I was like, Scotty, you a punk, because I would have stabbed him with a pen in his neck. I just don't, I'm not loving this at all. I'm just over it. Like, the Morgan versus, not Morgan, the Corinthos versus Corinthos slash Quartermain thing was boss. And then you have this turd. I don't like it at all, and I don't even care what's wrong with Luke at this point. I don't give a damn. I don't care. I don't even care if we find out Luke going through the change. I don't care. I don't care anymore.
That would be a story never done in daytime before.
Yeah, we know Ron tries to sneak it in there so I could just see him. Surprise! You didn't close the basement door. Like, I don't care anymore. Like, cut it out. Cut it out.
I liked, usually Tracy is a bit much for me when she's screaming and yelling and hating on everything. But this week, her normal tone conversation, she was light, a little bit more light, laughing. And the when she looked at Michael and said that, you know, your father took Jason away and then he took you away. And then for you to go back and do this to his child is just poetic justice. And I thought Tracy, I enjoyed Tracy last week. And
you
I
know
usually,
Tracy yeah. telling you the how a T.I. is. You already yeah. know. If you know Tracy yeah. telling you some shit like that, then you know. All right. Now.
Well, the Fluke storyline is the storyline that will never end. Uh-huh. We just need to set this to Lamb Chop Sing Along because they have cast Patricia. With.
What was that, dramatic?
E.T.'s mother.
D. Wallace, E.T.'s mother.
Yes. No, my, not E.T.'s mother. Elliot's
mother, yeah.
Yes, but the mother on E.T. Mike, you were regaling us before the podcast about watching E.T. before in theaters yeah. before some of us were born, maybe.
Melon on here!
I did, but I no, I don't. I hate to say this, but I'll give it a shot. I'll always give everything a fair shot, but I don't care. It's all tied to this story. I'm finding Bobby, the nurse. I know that when you have family members that are close to you that are going through certain things, you don't really always embrace them. But Bobby's a nurse. I mean, the first thing that she would do, I would imagine, is when she realized that there's something going on, is get Luke help. And there's been nothing from her. She's like sitting around waiting for something to happen.
Because Bobby said, I don't want him to bite my ear off, too. Shit. She said, I ain't finna have nobody bite my ear off.
No,
hell.
No,
oh,
I don't,
my God.
I don't care.
I every time the storyline comes on, I can't help but think of Big Sean's song, I Don't Fuck With You. It just plays in my mind. Cause I'm like, I don't fuck with this storyline. I just can't. I'm over it. Like, I'm done. I am just done. I don't care anymore. I don't care if this is Tony Geary's, like, dream, wet dream, like, dimensional, like, 40,000 dimensional storyline where he thinks, oh, my God, this has so many complexities and years to come. I don't care. I don't give a shit. Like, if you want dimension, build a 3D dimensional jigsaw puzzle. I don't care anymore. Like, this is just...
No offense to Dee, but there were some commenters on the thread that had posted about a half a dozen highly qualified soap actresses that could have probably made this a lot easier to watch.
Don't be posting that. I don't want this story.
At least with
someone not from daytime, hopefully it will be over quick. If they actually brought someone in with a name, this wouldn't even be the one that goes on forever. It'd be Affinity and Beyond.
That's why I'm like, y'all don't be posting who y'all want. I'm like, y'all don't be posting who should have played that role. We don't want this role cast shit. This is another one. I just don't care. I'm like, lady, you could be E.T.'s big mama, the boy who plays E.T.'s cuz, I don't know. You know, you could be real cool people. This is no shade against her. It's just the fact that we're just kind of over and done with this storyline.
Yeah, like, wrapping up and it's not wrapping
yes,
up.
Yes, it just keeps going.
Just getting started.
Yes, that's why I'm like, don't be casting nobody out. Don't be playing cast and direct on them. Damn it, don't do that. Don't give them no more ideas. Like, I'm like... I don't even know. Sarah. I mean, yeah. The posters. I'm like, God. I'm like, where's Sean? Where's Sean and Foxy Brown? Where? Foxy Cleopatra? Where is they?
Luke ate them.
You know, he likes chocolate. I wouldn't put it past him.
Chocolate. Grr, biting people and shit.
Sarah, now Ava has cancer.
Oh, my Lord. Oh,
I know. And
and her doctor is the most boring person.
I know. My first thought was like, if Silas was like actually gonna pull something really slick and was like gonna make everyone, including Ava, think she had cancer to get the charges dropped for like compassionate things, and then be like, psych. But then by like the end of today's episode, I'm like, okay, this is actually seeming very real, and we're leading towards a, you know, Ava needs a bone marrow thing, which could go in a variety of different directions and may go towards, sorry, Sonny, this is Morgan's baby.
Didn't,
at least
didn't,
my hope, but.
Well, yes, that is that's what's going to undo the custody.
But I mean,
It better do more than that. It better confirm that Morgan's the father.
Oh, yeah. That's what she said. That's what he is saying. Don't
that's
you
what
know?
I was
yeah, but I mean, in terms of that, but I was just like, you know.
Didn't Danny just have a bone marrow transplant?
Yes, that
yes!
was addressed very clearly in today's episode. And that was why they were able to, Silas very legitimately was able to check a lot of medical records for a match because of, you know, Danny's part Jerome. So in theory of that, and we've already established Kiki is not a match, but some people are being like, oh, that means she's Nina's daughter. And I don't think any of us want to see
no,
that. So.
Thought that, though. That's never anything that's ever been out of the back of my head.
And frankly, since Sam was not a match for Danny, that doesn't necessarily mean it. It means we're going to get, you know,
No. Don't you make Key Lauren Nina's child. No.
I was hoping that we were going to have a scene when new Kiki, when she was last week, when she was like, oh, I really miss New York, was going to be like, I'm just going to stay in New York. And that was going to be the end of new Kiki.
Yes. Let's go around the circle. First impressions of new Kiki, Mike.
Well, I still don't know why she had to be recast.
She was pivotal to the funeral this last week.
Yeah, I mean, if she wasn't going to be the one that went for custody, then I don't really know.
It does.
It's a hard transition for me. It's been jarring to see this girl who seems younger and it just it's not working for me.
Jillian, first impression?
New Key Lauren, because, you know, I don't call you by your nickname. When you hump two brothers, you groan. Pet names go out the window. I'm not a fan. Like, I thought maybe, but when I saw Mrs. Roboto, I'm like, oh, Lord, like, what happened? Like, she needs, like, okay, what is the next sweeps week? What is the next big sweep, Sarah?
May,
she need to die. Die! Just die! Die! Yes.
See, and I'm beginning to wonder about what's going on at General Hospital, because the casting there used to be so good. And as of late, it's gone downhill. Sarah, first impressions?
I'm going to cut for the casting director. I'm just going to chalk it up to him being on holiday. And Frank did this. So I'm Mark Teshner is not your fault.
No, Mark Teshner, I think, is his track record is you know,
it's impressive.
For himself.
I think he
discovered
was
everybody.
I think he's on holiday. We're gonna go by the.
Oh well, I'm willing to give that. If he's on holiday, fine, but I'm just saying.
I don't know, but I'm gonna cut. I'm gonna. Say
I almost feel like this almost felt like though they cast someone for a short term, but it's just weird because it's not like I always thought Kiki didn't have enough edge, but compared to new Kiki, old Kiki had a lot of edge. This just seems like some random, very sweet, very young girl who seems too young to have had, yeah, as Jillian put it, hump two brothers. She looks like she could be like hanging out with Molly. So
not for nothing, but she seems like she should be a murder victim on Pretty Little Liars.
I don't care. Oh God, I don't. Stop.
You know, it just kind of it is kind of like she just doesn't seem like someone who would be Ava's daughter. Let's just put it that way.
Right. Yes.
And then we have Spixie versus Naxie.
I'm like, Nathan, you are really shook by Spinelli? Like, no. This is no shade again.
He's such an idiot.
I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, you really shook by Spinelli. I'm like, I guess, you know, Spinelli, you were like, what did you say on Twitter, Luke? What did you say on Twitter?
I said something along the lines of, Nathan's just really thick.
Yeah, you said Nathan is really thick in the head or something, and I'm just like, nothing wrong with that. But anyways, that's what Maxie says. But I'm like, you were really shook by Spinelli. I'm like, I guess Spinelli said, you ain't the only one thick in the head or something. I'm like, you're really shook by Spinelli. Like, I just thought that was mind-blowing. But I guess it's that, I guess he's really shook because, you know, Spinelli and Maxie have a serious bond, which is, you know, little Georgie, and they've gone down some, you know, they've had some serious history, so I'll give it to him for that. But it's like, dude, like, you don't have anything to worry about. Maxie's your woman, calm down.
But I like that Spinelli's back, but I don't want Spixie Redux.
I think I don't want it either, because we just had Maxie, we're just getting the stank of that boy from what's his name?
Levi.
The freaking.
No. That's your little nickname. It's Wombat. There's no U in there, so it's Wombat. But we just got the stench of that off of her, so she should be in a functioning, cool relationship. Now you're doing this. Like, if there was no Levi, I would have been down with this. I would have been totally down with this. But
see, and if they had left, if they would have kept Brandon Barash on screen as someone to cause problems for both Lulu and Maxie, for Dante and Nathan, that would have been a fantastic, whatever. What would be the equivalent of a five? What is that? It's not a quad. What's more than a quad?
Pent.
Pent?
Pentagon.
Okay. It would be a fantastic pentagon.
You know, math wasn't whereas, the strongest points, but
whereas bringing Spinelli back, I mean, I like Spinelli. I'm glad he's back in town. I want to see him more with Sam, because he's one of the things that makes me like Sam, because I like their friendship. But I don't want to see him with Maxie anymore. I want to see him go down another path. His life doesn't have to revolve around Jason and Maxie for the rest of his life. Sarah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, people he's cool with on there, but anyways, go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, similar to that, because it is just one of those things, and it was weird. It was a line I sort of singled out on Twitter today when they sort of had Nathan be like, well, Spinelli's bright, and I'm like, okay, this was like someone sitting there thinking, like, why would someone like Nathan be threatened by someone like Spinelli? And like, the one thing they could come up with was, well, except the fact of the matter is Maxie's not Ellie, so, you know, it's not like she's like, oh man, the way he can code, that just makes me hot. But, you know, but it was just like, it is weird, because it is one of those things where I was just like, I liked Spixie. I had my ups and downs with him, but there was always the sense that, like, there was this sort of weird dynamic where, like, he was sort of worshiping her, and there was, like, a part of her that sort of was, like, looking for a guy like Nathan the whole time she was with him. And it was just kind of like, it just seems like revisiting the past for the sake of creating an obstacle for them. And I agree, Johnny made complete sense, because then it was also the contrast of like the Maxie who wants to be good versus the Maxie who wants to be bad.
Yeah,
and then you have Lulu Maxie, in there, and
yeah,
go ahead.
Whereas this, like, Rinaldi right now, you know, he's not mobbed up or anything, he's just a pure, you know, good guy. So it's like good guy who's nerdy versus good guy who's basically a Greek god who's been sent down from heaven, and
a Greek god with no brains.
But a fluency in French, let's give him that. But, you know,
We don't know, because none of us speak French, so we just taking his word for it. We don't know. He could be speaking pig Latin. We don't know. Liar.
But it's also like, Maxie is not a character. Maxie is smart, but she's not someone who's super intellectual. So it's like, I don't know why that Maxie would be like, oh man, I just can't have a great talk about literature with Nathan the way I can with Spinelli. You know, another character I'd believe that with. But it was just like, it's, you know, their bond is Georgie, basically. And it also is kind of coming across like, if Ellie hadn't dumped him, would Spinelli even be thinking this about Maxie?
Yeah. Well, you know, their bond, I chalk it up to their bond with Georgie 2.0, but they also have, their friendship goes way back. They have a bond with Georgie 1.0, her sister, and everything they've gone through. So I get that, because, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be, I wasn't being superficial with it. I was just teasing with it, but they have a deep bond outside of their kid. But, you know, this is all out of left field. He left Port Charles to be with, you know, Trout. With Trout Girl, and now he's back, and he's all, you know, it's.
And the thing is Spinelli is best when his eccentricities are causing people to either roll their eyes or like just shake their head. Like when he's opposite of Sonny, it's always so much fun because Sonny is just like, what is this fucker doing here?
Yeah.
Or when he's like with Tracy, like that is where Spinelli is best.
Yeah.
And so to me, if you were going to bring Spinelli back, I understand why you have to go through Maxie or the Spixy stuff because of their history. And let me tell you, I love them. And when he left, I cried at their like parting. It was
you
fantastic.
Cried?
Yes. When they said goodbye, that was like,
oh, okay, I'm
really
just,
emotional.
Yeah, I will support Luke in that. That was really emotional. I had
so,
some tears.
But, ooh, yes. But Luke, your man card has been revoked.
So when he comes back, I expect them to play the beats with Maxie and Spinelli, but I would prefer, I mean, okay, this is just going sort of off the rails, but there's always been some speculation as to whether or not Spinelli might actually be a Quartermain.
No, no, that's what you want.
I know that. No, that is not what been, but I'm just saying that was like what I've seen online with a lot of people.
Why? Name these people, because I know it's you. You just want him to be.
No, it wasn't me, because I particularly want him as a Quartermain. But the Spinelli character in the household with the Quartermains would be fun to watch. Spinelli, as much as I'm not a big fan of Sonny, at Sonny's is fun to watch. We haven't seen him yet with Jason, so we have no clue how that's really
going.
Well,
you know, I think, you know, him, you know, they don't, it's so hard to say what the hell they're doing. You know, I guess him being back also helps with the Jason aspect. He could also be the one to be like, this is Stone Cold, everybody, and da 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 da. You know what I mean? Or they can put him in a different orbit. He doesn't have to be solely up under Maxie's tit. Like, Sonny going through this custody battle with Michael. Like, one of them who has a brain should be like, you know what? I should have this boy hack into some records to play in for my favor. You know, it would be cool if Michael used him. Hell, it would be cool.
Yeah.
Hell, it would be cool if Sonny be like, look, I don't speak jibba jabba and geek, but I do know that Jason, the one thing that Jason always said about you was that you were badass behind a computer. I need to get custody of my daughter before I whack this boy. So do your thing. And let me get some blackmail dirt on this judge or something. That would be cool, too, instead of him just being up under Maxie. Like, there's plenty of things you can do with him. I just hope they don't.
The thing about Nathan and Maxie is Maxie does a lot of the heavy lifting in scenes.
No, bullshit.
And she does an immense amount of heavy lifting. I'm surprised her feet aren't sore in those high heels.
She got badass arm muscles with all the lifting she does.
But the thing is that like what makes Spinelli play off of people well is because oftentimes it's opposite of people who can roll with the punches.
Yeah.
And Nathan as a character just can't. It is so like 1, 2, 3, 4 plodding along. It just doesn't work. It's not even like, I don't even consider them viable as like scene partners. When they were 1 minute having lunch and everything is okay and he's telling them, it's those scenes felt so weird.
He would be, that's what I'm saying. He would be either not only relegated to Sam and Maxie, he would be fabulous with the Quartermains. Can you imagine like Michael having him on retainer and he's like, you know, and Michael's like, we're going to put you up in the Q house, you know, and you're going to work for me and you're going to help me get my daughter back. And for him to be like playing opposite against Jane Elliott, that would be fantastic. Or opposite against Maurice Bernard. Maurice Bernard, you know, Sonny snaps him up and is like, you my homeboy now. You know, yeah, our mutual boy is dead, but you my boy now. I need you to help me get my kid back. Him opposite against Maurice Bernard is always great. And Laura Wright, too, that would be fantastic. I just hope they don't really...
Well, there was another one of the rumors as to whether or not Spinelli might be actually Sonny's. That was another one that I read one time.
Don't you do it. Don't you do it! Don't you do it. Sonny don't need no more damn children. No.
Well, on that note, final thoughts, Mike.
Oh, my final thoughts, yes. I just want to give shout-outs to people who made my week wonderful. Melissa Reeves, Rena Sofer, and Christoph St. John. That's my shout-outs for the week. That's what I'm going to do instead of a final thought.
Sarah?
Okay.
I just wanted to recognize we had, there was an interview, and it was referenced on Daytime Confidential, in which Eric Braden sort of appeared to sing Chuck Pratt's praises. I just wanted to point out for anyone who's like, oh, Eric's in the pot for Chuck Pratt, that based on what he was talking about in that interview in terms of the storylines, and he's like, oh, it was great when, you know, Nikki and Neil were drinking together and all this stuff. He was talking about all the stuff right before Disaster Week that we all loved. So I just would like to point out Eric Braden isn't necessarily like being like, oh, I'm being written as the man, so therefore this everything here is just genius. He, you know, I think he was just interviewed at a very particular moment when he was basically agreeing with, in fact, all of the fans. So don't specify Eric.
And number two, this is Eric Braden. If he don't like a storyline, we gonna hear about it. So we gonna hear about it. This is how Eric always starts off. When shit is looking good, Eric is like, oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. But then check back with him like 3-4 months from now. How do you like it? Oh, I don't understand this bullshit. You know how he roll. So come on now. Y'all know how Eric do.
Jillian?
Oh, my final thought is, y'all who was loving Steffi or love to hate her, she'll be back in April. Jackie McInnes Woods said on Facebook, I think she said it on Facebook. Yeah, on Facebook, she said that she will be back in April for a much longer time. So do with that as you will. With Days, I'm just hoping they keep my attention span again, because the Will stuff, you know, the Sonny Will and Paul stuff is bananas, but the Eve Jennifer JJ shit is like boss. Like, I'm loving that. I just hope.
I almost need her to catch him again.
Yes! Yeah! Oh, yes! Like in the shower or something. She'd be like, yes! JJ! Ah! Oh, my God.
I think that's a possibility. I totally think that that's a possibility.
How? But you know.
Now that he's going to get Paige back and everything's going to be
good.
But then Paige is still going to be like, oh, but I'm just not ready to take it to the next level, JJ. Things are still on, you know, weak footing with us. And JJ is going to be like, oh, he's ready to
take
it.
That's not true. She tried to seduce JJ a couple times, and then he turned her down, and then he went to the mother. But I do think – it's possible what you're saying could happen. I think that –
it could happen, but is it going to happen?
Well, I don't know. I don't have – in my right now.
I knew this is what you were doing. Stop it. I told you.
I'm not. But you brought it up, so I think it's a good point. I totally think that's a possibility that he's not going to be – JJ, she's going to turn him down. I don't think she's going to want to get back together with him, and he's going to go right back to the mother, Eve.
Oh, yeah.
My final thought is we haven't discussed Empire, and we're going to discuss it real quick. Woo! Last week's episode, Jillian, how great was it?
Take these cookies! Take them! Oh, scream! Taraji is just having a fucking ball. That show is fantastic. When Cookie found out what Boo Boo Kitty was up to, I screamed. It wasn't in the middle of the episode, the end of the episode. It was right off the bat that bitch was found out. And I loved it. I really thought they were going to have it like play out at the last episode, because, you know, I don't know if y'all want to be spoiled. Do you?
You can spoil it.
I just know at one of their episodes, because, you know, it's 3 technically, because the season finale is a 2-hour season finale, but I hear a cat fight gonna go down, child. So I thought the cat fight was when she, you know, Cookie found out that she was gonna, you know, she was working with Baretti, but that shit off the rip when she told her, you know, you have Portia spy on me as Portia spied on you right on back. I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. And we see that, you know, Malcolm, I love it. We see that Malcolm, he got a thing for Cookie too. We see it.
He wants to dip her in some milk.
Oh my God. I love it. Like little things, just little things that they do there that you see that like everybody's paying attention on shit. I love it.
Sarah, what did you think of not only all of that fantastic stuff, but of the bipolar portion? I, for a moment, thought that that boy was going to bust through the glass wall and go running through that place like Greg Madden did on One Life to
Live. Yeah. I mean, that was Trey Byers brought it this week, and he'd been a character who'd sort of been in the peripheral of the show because, you know, he didn't have the big singing scenes, because which I think is just such an interesting beat of his character that, like, he feels left out because he can't sing, and because his father discounts him having a business degree from the best business school in the country, and marrying a white woman. And so, you know, I thought Trey Byers just absolutely brought it. He, you know, he was very just moving. He was powerful. And, like, I'm really looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with him and Jennifer Hudson, the music therapist, in this upcoming episode. I think he did absolutely, you know, again, All My Children alum, doing us proud in prime time.
Mad shit, Mookie! 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 Look at that! Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I thought that was just such an interesting beat, and he was so sympathetic. And then Lucius in that scene where he just is all, like, when, you know, they paramedics or whatever come for him, and he's all like, oh yeah, Rhonda's gonna be the one who, you know, signs him in. She's the next of kin, all cold. I mean, just the ambiguities and the contradictions in his relationships with his children, the way, like,
you thought that was a contradiction?
Well, not even a contradiction.
I thought it was more one
of
those things.
Well, the contradiction
was
not the right word.
She's the one to blame for this, not me.
Yeah. I thought that he was just like gonna leave it on her shoulders. I thought that was kind of a bitch. That's kind of a boss move, and it's also kind of a bitch move.
Oh yeah, well, it's just like, because, you know, and it's like when he said like 2 to 10, 2 to 10. The way he went home after school, when, like, you know, and when his whole life was working in this business, when his brothers, who are so much younger, were just little kids, he was the one who was there when they were dirt poor, hiding his father's guns, and he is just getting, you know, pushed to the side because he's not flashy enough, or he doesn't have the music abilities. And it is really interesting, and like the way that, like, you know, the interesting ways in which Lucius both needs his business savvy, but then, like, tells him, you know, perceives it as him, you know, basically trying to be white, quote unquote. It was just something really interesting that I had never seen on a TV show before.
Well,
Mike, I know that you're behind, but did you watch the White Party episode where the middle child son came out?
No.
Oh,
all right, I'm a couple weeks behind.
You need to catch up.
Dude, what is going
and
on
watch
in your life
live
that is more important than Empire?
You must have
Days of Our Lives.
Oh, dear God in heaven.
You need to put him on mute. What I found.
You need Jesus.
You need
I need a lot of things, Luke.
You need Cookie to whoop your ass with that broom. You know what I found interesting when Lucius told Andre off? I found interesting that Lucius knew all along that Andre was planning a coup with Vernon. Like, we all thought that Lucius was too caught up in Empire going public, the, you know, trying to make Hakeem a star, and his little war against especially his ALS and his war against Baretti. But he knew that Andre and Vernon were trying to overthrow him, and that's why he shut him down to be the quote-unquote interim CEO. And I also thought what was interesting was that he didn't want Andre with a white woman, but I'm like, hello, Boo Boo Kitty's daddy is what? White. He ain't pasty, he ain't ashy, daddy white. Like, I thought that was kind of interesting, an interesting thread way with that, too.
Sarah.
Yes.
What did you think of Jamal coming out?
I thought it was just one of the most brilliantly staged scenes I've seen on TV in a long time. And it was just such a perfect way to be like, screw you, Dad. I am going to take your big heterosexual love song and turn it into my coming out party. And, you know, I mean, Jesse Smollett, that
up,
he's a
down,
star.
Up, down.
Up, down, up. He is a star.
Yes! Oh, my God.
He
I
is
loved
a star.
It.
I'm so excited that he got a record contract in real life. I will be buying that.
I'm going to be buying the Empire soundtrack.
Oh, I think we all are.
Yes.
But it was just such a great scene, and I loved the way it played out the next week when he didn't want to – Lucius was like, well, Estelle played her. I'm drawing a blank on the character's name. When, you know, he has the inside track to get this great, you know, signing for Empire, and he's just trying to play it off. And when Jamal's like, oh, you just can't believe, you know, you don't want to admit that, like, your gay son is going to be the one who, you know, brings in the big, you know, the big fish for you, and is going to be the one who actually has what it takes. And I mean, it's just
totally
such a great dynamic.
Totally caught Lucius out, because Lucius is that type of dude that is so mad at you because you did something he didn't want you to do, that he will spit and he will cut off his nose and spit in his own face just to spite you. And it's like, you are the one going to war. We're trying to help you. This war is your fault because you burned Boo Boo Kitty trying to mess with Mama. So I love that Jamal stood up and took the reins. But that damn Hakeem, I know that he and Cook are in a good, semi-good place. He still gets on my nerve, and he's still getting shitted on from me because he had his bitch called Cookie a bitch. You don't ever let your hoe call your mama a bitch. You don't ever let her do that.
You know.
Mm-mm, she need to whoop him with that broom. But when he told Lucius, we go, you know, me and my boys got some C4. We could blow up his office. I was like, Lucius, let Cookie loose again to beat him with that broom. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I loved how Cookie Winton basically did the whole drinking thing and was able to hold her.
Oh,
liquor.
Yes!
But oh, yes!
Does anybody else want to see Portia and Becky team up on something or else go toe-to-toe against each other?
No.
That would be fantastic, just as a little subplot where there was a competition between those two.
No.
I think it'd be fun.
No.
Sarah? Any final Empire thoughts as we wrap?
My final Empire thoughts is, like, every week they manage to top themselves. And, like, yes. I've never seen a show do that, which means I'm very, very excited about this Wednesday. And I want to point out, every week the ratings go up. This is just completely unprecedented. It is it is over a 5.0 adults 18 to 49 rating, which, like, no drama has done in years. It's been, like, highest rated single episode since like an episode of Grey's Anatomy in 2009. So congrats.
And it was doing something with House when House way back when.
It's like it is the biggest phenomenon. It is changing the game. It's going to change what network execs think is possible
Fox
for a show to achieve. And it's going to change the type of shows that are greenlit because it shows, frankly, that anyone will watch a show with a diverse cast, that there's just absolutely no reason in 2015 that people aren't excited about programming that is different.
One word of caution, though. Fox needs to avoid sending these people on tour.
Yes!
It was one, not the only thing or the exclusive thing, but it was one of the contributing factors to Glee's demise, in my opinion. Last thing that I want to see is this show, them just try to milk it for more money, and then the quality of the show go down.
One thing that Glee has that Empire does not have, they have Ryan Murphy on there. Look, I know Ryan Murphy does good stuff, but he's kind of like, when Ryan Murphy, after a while, y'all have seen it, people say it about American Horror Story. After a while, it's like his Ritalin or whatever wears off, and he just does whatever the hell he wants. I don't think Empire has that. I don't think they have that issue. I do agree with you with them not going on tour, though, because when I heard that they're debating that, I'm like, okay, see, y'all are going to oversaturate, and then that's going to annoy people because that's what happened with Glee. Like, people were fine with it, but then it got annoying. And then they also did that thing, I think, with Glee. I think when they were on tour, they had them playing their characters instead of themselves, so that just made it even worse. So I don't think, I really hope that Danny and them say, nah, we ain't trying to have them. You know, I really hope somebody tells somebody at Fox, or some Fox is just like, nah, that's okay, we'll pass. I don't want them to oversaturate it, because once you do that, it's really gonna fuck shit up.
And I also have to say, the saving grace may be that all of the actors on the show have, like, a lot of other projects going on, unlike
Terrence,
the kids on Glee.
Yeah, Terrence has, yeah.
Taraji's gonna get offered everything that she's the right type for now. Like, I mean, Trey was in Selma. I mean, these are actors. Jesse's got an album to put together. These are actors who are about to get offered every single project for the hiatus. They're saying they want to keep it less than 22 episodes just because of, like, Terrence and Taraji's schedules. So I think it's just like,
I need 28 episodes.
Wait, well, let her finish. But because Terrence has a show called Wayward Pines coming out in the summer, right, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, that's been in the can for a long
time. But he's
sitting there, but you know.
But I think he's also going to be filming, I don't know if they're starting filming it now, but you know, it's the Best Man. They're doing a third Best Man movie. And his,
oh, I love those movies.
And his character, if people watch the movie, the last scene.
Well,
if you ain't watch it by now, that's your damn business. Shit, spoiler alert. But the last scene was his character said that he's getting married. So if they're filming that right about now or starting that now, he's going to be busy. Taraji also, you know, she's down with TV, but she also likes to do movies. And she's still coming from that high from No Good Deed, because FYI, did not know that she was an executive producer of that film. So, and that movie made bank. So she's going to be doing a whole bunch of shit. So they're going to be out. I don't know about those other babies. Like, I know Trey, who plays Andre, he sings. He actually can sing in real life. But, you know, I don't know what he has planned. But, you know, I don't know about those other two babies, if they're going to be busy or not. So I'm just hoping that their schedules really screw them up so they can't go on tour. Sorry.
Yeah, and if they do some sad thing where it's just like Tiana and stuff, no one's going to go see that. So
I'm going to make sure no one see that. It ain't no shade. There's no shade against it. But yeah. I just feel as though they're going to get that curse, that Glee curse, by oversaturating the market, and people are just not going to be here for them anymore. And I don't want that to happen, because it's such a good show.
And I think I'm going to give Fox credit for probably having learned from their mistakes. And certainly, like you said, Lee Daniels and Danny Strong are very savvy individuals. There is not going to be, you know, a Project Empire reality show with kids competing for a slot on it. That's not going to happen.
That happened. Oh my God. Oh, no.
That's not going to happen. The people involved with this show are too smart to let that happen.
Yeah.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. Add us as a friend on Twitter, or follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye. Bye.